Revelation chapter 4. And when you find Revelation chapter 4, would you stand in honor and reading of the word? We don't normally do that, but you've been seated for a minute. And so, Revelation chapter 4. Are you glad to be in church? Now, these in the month of April are revival Sundays. So we go a little longer than normal. And I know, anybody got a roast or anything that's going to burn today? Well, you may want to call the neighbor to go check on it real quick. Revelation chapter 4. Are you looking at it? Say amen. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight likened to an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there was 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass likened to crystal, and in the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast a flying eagle. And the fourth beast and the 4 beasts, each had of them 6 wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and the rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And the church said, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. I thank you for these that have gathered. I thank you for my friend that come to sing for us here this morning. I pray, God, right now, you laid this on my heart. I'm going to preach it. And Lord, I pray that those that are listening will listen, Lord, with open hearts. And I just pray, God, right now that you would help us in a very special way. Lord, I'm praying that you would bind Satan away from this place, because when I start, the devil is going to try to prevent this from being preached today. So God, I'm needing your help. I need you to dispatch the angels and the sweet Holy Spirit to protect this property and keep the devil from interfering with what's going to be said today. And I'll thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. A common question I get asked all the time, preacher, what happens next? This morning, yesterday, I was watching, and as Israel is getting attacked by Iran and all of the different things, and this is not the first time. They were attacked in 1948 when they became a nation. They were attacked in 67. They were attacked in 73, and now they're being attacked again. They were attacked 6 or 7 months ago, and now yesterday they're being attacked again. And people said this past Monday when the eclipse happened, oh, the Lord's coming. Well, I wouldn't worry too much about that, but when you mess with God's people, that's how God tells time. God tells time by the nation of Israel, not by the eclipse. And when you look at God's watch, he watches his children. And when people start messing with God's children, God gets to stirring around. You say, preacher, what happens next? Well, in Revelation chapter number 4, it told us there's soon going to be a door that's opened in heaven. And there's going to be a voice that says, come up hither. And we're getting out of here. It's called the rapture of the church. You say, Brother Jeremy, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Neither is air conditioning, but I'm glad we got it. Indoor plumbing's not in the Bible, but I'm glad it's there.
The word rapture is found, not the word, but the idea is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it says the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's called the rapture of the church. That word is called the catching away. Raptured, catching away. And one of these days, the Lord is going to come, and it's called the rapture of the saved, the rapture of the church. We're not talking about the Church of Christ. We're not talking about the Baptists. We're not talking about the Methodists. We're not talking about the Presbyterians or the confused. We're talking about all that are saved, blood washed by the blood of the Lamb of God. When the trumpet sounds, we're going to meet him in the air, and it could happen this very moment. There is not a thing in the world that has to go on in the Middle East before Jesus could come right now and call his church out of here. When he left out of here in Acts chapter number 1, they said this same Jesus is going to come in like manner just as you've seen him go. People said, Brother Jeremy, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I'm saved. They said, how do you know you're saved? Well, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know he knows the way to heaven? Well, ladies and gentlemen, he came from heaven. He came down from heaven in Bethlehem's manger. He lived 33 and a half years. He died on the cross. They buried him. On Resurrection Sunday, he got up. He went back to heaven, put the blood on the mercy seat. He came back down and met the disciples in the upper room. And then in Acts chapter number 1, he goes back into heaven at the ascension. After 3 trips, he ought to know the way. And I'm following the one who knows the way. The sound of the trumpet, one of these days, ladies and gentlemen, the sound of the trumpet's going to take place, and we're going to get out of here. It's the call of the shofar, and when he calls, it'll be a call to worship, it'll be a call to war, and it'll be a call for the marriage supper of the Lamb. One of these days you'll hear that sound, and you'll hear your name within that sound, and he'll say, Jeremy, come up hither. Bob, come up hither. Tommy, come up hither. Brother Cecil, come up hither. And boy, I'm telling you, every now and then I hear that, and I just want to start doing this. And you say, what are you doing? That's rapture drills. I'm practicing for when it's going to happen. Y'all heard me tell this when I was in school. I remember this the first time I ever in science class. And I don't remember what grade it was, but we had a fella in class. He was more country than I am. And they called him Cornbread. And where he called him Cornbread, I don't forget what his real name was. And the teacher was trying to tell us about a magnet and what all of the different things the magnet does. And on this side of the table, she had a bunch of toothpicks. And on this side of the table, she had a bunch of straight pins. And what she did, she ran that magnet over them toothpicks, and them toothpicks didn't move a muscle. And then she took that magnet, big old horseshoe of a magnet, and she took it across those straight pins. And them straight pins stood straight up and went toward that magnet and sucked up into that magnet and stuck to it. And then she said, now, class, I want you to tell me in your own words what you just saw as a teaching element. And nobody said nothing but Cornbread put his hand up like that. And she said, well, she didn't call him Cornbread, but she said, Cornbread, tell us what you saw. And he says, well, whatever is in them straight pins ain't in them toothpicks. Whatever's in them straight pins is the same thing that's in that magnet. And when them magnet gets hooked up with them straight pins identify with what's in that magnet and wants to go toward it. But whatever's in them straight pins ain't in them toothpicks. Well, I got to thinking about that. Ladies and gentlemen, when the trumpet sounds, in this room right here, you got toothpicks and you got straight pins. There are people in here when the trumpet sounds and God himself hovers over this place. There's some people going to be like the toothpicks and they're going to be stiff as a board like they are right now. And they're not going to meet him in the air. But whatever is in them, and I'll tell you what it is, it's the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in me that gets identified with what's in him. And when the trumpet sounds, we'll go to meet him in the air. That's the next event on God's time calendar. And it's called the rapture of the church. After that, those that are saved, when you get caught up, we're going to a place called the judgment seat of Christ. You say, Brother Jeremy, is that found in the Bible? Why, sure. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and about verse number 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it's going to be revealed by fire. And the fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he's going to receive a what? A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. A loss of what? A loss of reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. One of these days, every saved person rapture the church, we get caught up, and then we go get cleaned up. And when we stand before God, he's going to bring everything you've done as a Christian from the day you got saved to the day you died or the day you got raptured. And he's going to bring all of that stuff and put it in the furnace of fire. If you got gold, silver, precious stones, it's going to come out gold, silver, precious stones. If you put in wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to come out as ashes, burn up. If it comes out gold, silver, precious stones, there's 5 crowns that you can receive. You say, Brother Jeremy, we're going to prance around in heaven, and I got 3 crowns, you got 2, and you got 1, and we're going to pass each other on John Boulevard, and we're going to say, oh, I got 3. You know, no, friend. We read that in Revelation chapter 4. Because when we stand at the throne, we're going to cast our crowns at his feet. Don't you want to have something to put at his feet? Wouldn't you be ashamed if you got to heaven and he gave you a bag of ashes, everything you've done since you've been saved, how many people you've led to the Lord, how many times you've read your Bible, how many times you've been to church, how many times you did this and did all of that. All of that stuff was burned up, and he hands you a bag of ashes and you lay it at the feet of Jesus, say, that's all I got to offer you. Don't get quiet on me now while we're preaching good. I heard it put this way, and I hope it's not this way, but I heard it put this way one time. A fellow had a dream, and Peter, I don't know why it's always Peter that meets you at the gate, but Peter met him at the gate, and he was going to take him around and show him all the mansions. He went over here and showed Billy Graham's mansion. Boy, is a begging, man, I'm as a begging. And he went over here, and he showed this over here, and this and here. And boy, he said, now so-and-so lives right here, and this fellow right here, and Adrian Rogers lives right over here. And boy, that's a nice, and man, that guy's just, whoo, I can't wait to see mine. He took him on the backside of heaven to old shack about to fall down. Peter said to us, son, there's your mansion. He said, I cannot believe this is mine. We passed all them mansions and that is mine. And Peter said, we did the best we could with the material you sent up here. You say, is that in the Bible? Well, halfway, because it says, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt. What have you been doing since you've been saved? Judgment seat of Christ, you'll give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. There's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, we just talked about this Wednesday night in a teaching setting, but this is a preaching setting. The Church of Jesus Christ, we are in that particular phase between the cross and the rapture. One of these days, you say, Brother Jeremy, how do you know the church is going to get raptured for the tribulation? Because in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there are 7 churches. The church at Ephesus, the church of Sardis, the church of Pergamum, the church at Thyatira, the church at Philadelphia, the church of Laodicea. Lord, help me, I didn't take my medicine this morning. Laodicea. And then in chapter 4, I heard a voice say, come up hither. And the church is not mentioned anymore through the whole book of Revelation until you get to chapter 19, where we see Jesus riding on a white horse and the church coming back with him.
So I don't know how it is. Now, if you want to go through it, help yourself. There's a lot of people I'd like to see go through it. Hallelujah. But listen, if you're saved, you're going to heaven when the trumpet sounds. Now you say, Brother Jeremy, what if I miss the rapture? That sound, that shofar, that trumpet that sounds for the calling of the saints to go home. What if I miss that? Well, I'll tell you what will happen. This church right here, Millsfield, every church in Dyersburg, every church in Tennessee, every church in every state in America will be full to capacity the next Sunday. You say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait. Brother Jeremy, I'm going to wait and see if you're telling the truth. And when the trumpet sounds, I'll wait till next Sunday, and I'm going to come right down to this altar, and I'm going to get saved like I've been meaning to do for the last year or so. I got news for you. Listen to me real good. If you wait till after the trumpet sound, it's too late. Let me get over here because I didn't get the response I was looking for. If the trumpet sounds and you've heard the gospel, trumpet sounds, you come down this altar all day long, you can, just bawl your eyes out, and it's not going to do you one bit of good after the rapture. You say, Brother Jeremy, how you know? Because when Noah preached, it's going to rain for 120 years, he preached that, and when it did start raining and the door was shut, them people changed their mind, wanted to get on, and couldn't because the door was shut. That trumpet sounds, the door of opportunity is going to be shut, and you'll get left behind to go through 7 years of great tribulation. Y'all think it's bad now? You just wait till the Holy Spirit takes the church out of here. You just think that. You just hang around and watch. You think it's bad? Oh, yeah, it's bad. But, hey, you just imagine what'll happen when the Holy Spirit and the church leave out of here. The protection of God's wrath will be pulled back. And 7 solid years of Antichrist, the new world order, new world currency, new world government. You won't be able to go to the church of your liking. You'll have to go to the state-approved church. And they won't even have a Bible. We're already headed that way. Now, y'all don't look at me like y'all hadn't been watching TV. Some of you looking at me like I'm preaching Greek right up here. Listen, we're headed that way. We got the iPhone. We got the iMac. We got the iPad. There's an eye watching you everywhere you go. The iApple. You ever notice that we got an eye? There's one right there, and I've got a couple up here. Got one in my back pocket. Hey, watch this. But look, that apple got a bite out of it. Where'd that happen at? Sound like the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Oh, friend. Listen, I'm telling you, it's coming to a city near you, and you better get ready. Because the Lord could come today before we get out of this service. Christian people, you'll be going to the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody left behind is going through 7 years of tribulation. You say, Brother Jeremy, what's the rest of that story? Well, I tell you, after us Christians, we get raptured up, we get caught up, we're going to get cleaned up, and then we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb to get cheered up. And then we go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's found in Revelation 19, about verse number 7. And it says, let us be glad and rejoice for unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife, the church, hath made herself ready. She was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean. And the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. He said, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You say, Brother Jeremy, what are we going to do up there? We're going to marriage supper. We're going to eat. Somebody say amen. That ought to woke somebody up right there. No calories, no fat grams. Somebody want to shout right there? I mean, in a glorified body, we're going to that marriage supper with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I had time to tell you the 3 stages of the marriage supper. I ain't got time to tell you, but I'm telling you, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You say, Brother Jeremy, what happens next? Well, I'm going to tell you. After we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Lord's going to say, all right, all you saved folks, look back here. Look at all them horses back there. People said, is there any animals in heaven? There's horses up there. I read a book one time that said all dogs go to heaven. I don't know. That ain't in the Bible. But I know what ain't in the Bible. Cats won't be in heaven. Somebody. Boy, I lost about half of you right there, didn't I? No way a cat's going. Now, my dog's saved. I've led him to the Lord 10 times. I know he's saved. I just want to make sure he had it. Now that I got your attention, watch this. The Lord's going to say, hey, y'all get on one of them horses back there and get ready. Because the Antichrist is down there. He's done took over, and he's done walked into the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, and he sat down where I'm supposed to sit. And it's done made me mad. So y'all get on. And boy, I saw that bumper sticker one time. It says, the Lord is coming back. And boy, is he mad. This is the part of Jesus people don't preach. They want to love, love, love. And I'm all for it. Hallelujah. Yes, he loves us. But I'm telling you, he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back with a vengeance, with power and great glory. You say, Brother Jeremy, is that in the Bible? Well, sure. I usually try to do my homework. Revelation 19, and I saw heaven opened. And behold, a what? A white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Faithful and True is capitalized. That's talking about the Lord. And in righteousness he that judge and make what? His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many what? Where did he get those crowns? He got those from the judgment seat of Christ. Remember I told you? Were we going to lay them at his feet? On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed, the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You said, Brother Jeremiah, I thought we was in there. Watch, hang on. And the armies which were in heaven, that's me. If that's, let me see your hand. That was me right there. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon what? I told you I'm still in the Bible. Clothed the fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth, he's coming down to the Mount of Olives. When he comes to the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives is going to split. Zechariah chapter 14, ain't got time to quote that for you. And it's going to split. He's going to ride down just like, remember, the same route that he took when he rode the donkey into Jerusalem when he was crucified. He's going to ride a white horse this time. Same route. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's going to march right to the eastern gate. And when he comes to the eastern gate, they're not going to crucify him this time. You said, Brother Jeremy, what are they going to do? They're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. And so let me just say right there, now don't worry about them. They need help, and you don't worry about them. Look here. Somebody said, well, why do they do that? I made the mistake one time of say, look at your neighbor and throw a song book. Well, they took me literally, and here they go. They started throwing song books. And anyway. But, you know, T.D. Jakes does that. He says, look at your neighbor and, you know, slap him or whatever. I don't know what he says. But anyway, all those gates that are around the throne, or excuse me, around Jerusalem, all of them are open. They come in and out. People, you still use the sheep gate, and people still use the water gate and all of that. There's one gate that the Muslims have bricked up, and it's the eastern gate because they read Revelation 19. And they found out Revelation 19, they said, the Lord's coming back. He's coming back to this eastern gate. So what we're going to do, we're going to brick this thing up. You look it up, and it's all bricked up. You can't go in and out. It's all bricked up. And they said, we're going to stop him from coming into this eastern gate. Well, when he was crucified, they put him in a hollowed out rock. And they put a stone on the outside of that rock. And then they put the Rock of Ages on the inside and expected him to stay there. But early on Sunday morning, the rock rolled down the side of the hill and couldn't hold the rock on the inside. And if that happened on Easter, good neighbor, let me tell you, when he comes back, the brick and the mortar is not going to prevent him from coming through that eastern gate. And he was going to sit down on the throne of his father David. He'll live and reign forever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Brother Jeremy, what happens next? Well, I'm telling you, you wait till you see that sight right there.
And you better be on that side of it. Not looking at it from this standpoint, because that's a bad spot to be in. He said, all right, Brother Jeremy, what happens next? Well, I'm going to tell you. And I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Saddest verse in the Bible. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast the lake of fire. Remember I told you a while ago, the saved people are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, give an account of the deeds of the body, whether it be good or bad. Well, the Bible says every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. So where's the lost people going to go? Saved people, judgment seat of Christ, got that. Where's the lost people going to go? The great white throne judgment. There's two different judgments. Judgment seat of Christ, of Christ, belonging to Christ. You have to belong to Christ to be at that judgment. That's why you got to rightly divide the Bible. There's two different things. There's a difference in the rapture and the second coming. There's a difference in judgment seat of Christ and great white throne. You say, how do you know? They're spelt different. Things that are different, not the same. Every lost person that's already died and went to hell right now, they're going to get called up out of there. They get raptured up out of hell. Say, Brother Jeremy, yeah, we just read it. Death and hell. Delivered up for the great white throne. And there's going to be a God sitting on that throne. And the books are going to open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. This is all Jesus, that's all God's going to say. What's your name? Let's see if it's in here.
Hey, is it in? How do you spell it? I may be in the wrong page.
Lord, check under Vacation Bible School records. It should be in there. We don't have Vacation Bible School records up here. What's your name? Church membership. Check the church membership roll. As a member, I went down, shook the preacher's hand. They gave me a card to sign, and he dumped me in the pool. And I went on Christmas and Easter, and check the roll book. We have church membership rolls up here. What's your name? Check under Mama. Mama was a good Christian. Check under her name. Matter of fact, Granddaddy bought the first three rows. They got a little plaque, a little gold plaque on the side of the pew where Granddaddy bought the pews in that church. Check under there and see if my name is under there. Son, we don't have pew records up here. We don't have gold plate records up here. God don't have grandchildren. He don't have grandkids. He just got kids. You ain't going to heaven because mom and daddy's going to heaven. You can't ride on mom and daddy's coattail. What's your name? And if your name's not found in the book, pull the verse up. Verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book, this is not my opinion, people. It's not my opinion. Whosoever name not found in the book, life cast where? Like a fire. Now, I don't know this to be true. What I just said is true. This part, I don't know that to be true. But I wonder, pull that picture up right here. I wonder if while people are standing, I wonder. You know, this guy right down here supposedly lost, and so he's looking up there, and
and got his head down, probably crying for mercy. But I wonder, I don't know, it's not in the Bible, this is just me thinking. I wonder if all the saved folks, I wonder if we're going to be up in the balcony section watching. And every person that comes up there is going to be somebody you know. Somebody you see at the grocery every day. Somebody that you see at the convenience store on occasion. And they're going to look up. That person is going to look up in the balcony and say, did you know about this? You didn't tell me? You didn't tell me about this? You didn't tell me about hell? You was afraid it's going to offend me? You was afraid you was going to mess up your Christmas dinner by bringing up religion? I wish somebody would have told me about this awful place. God says, depart from me. I never knew you. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life. Say, Brother Jeremy, what happens next? I just told you. And everything I told you is found in that Bible. And when the trumpet sounds, it's too late. And you better listen to me, and listen to me real good. Because if I've ever told you the truth, I'm telling it to you now. Is your name in the book? If your name's not in the book, you better make sure it's in the book this morning. Because I don't know when the trumpet's going to sound. It could happen this morning. Sammy's coming. This is what I would say. I would say somebody's on your heart and mind right now you need to be praying for. Revival, right? This is a revival sermon. There ought to be people. Sammy's going to start playing. When he starts playing, there ought to be people right now. Just keep, slip up out of your seat. Come down to this old-fashioned altar and start praying for whoever you're thinking about right now. Come pray for them. You say, Brother Jeremy, What if my name ain't in the book? You need to get down here too. And you need to motion for me or motion for somebody. And we're going to take the Bible and show you how you can get your name in the book.